What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Chop Sports Daily. Your host here, Sturge, back in the saddle, back in a power chair. And of course, Gooch over there and AJ back in his respective behind the glass. I made it. I'm here. I'm alive. I'm blessed for another year around the sun today. You know, first of all, I don't feel 36. I actually felt up with less.
Happy birthday,
yes,
bro.
Yes, I woke up with less back
smashing,
pain.
Smashing, isn't it?
I woke up with less back pain today than I have in quite some time. So maybe that's like a turn of the times. But yeah, I'm here for those who were rooting, for me to lose my business yesterday with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to score 44 points. You, my friends, are all losers. And there's other losers involved, and that includes the Dallas Cowboys. They do lose their opening night
you
game.
Said it.
Yeah, of course. Listen. First of all, last night, I'm jazzed up that football's back. You know, it felt good to have a regular season game. It felt good to see Dak out there after all the crap that he's been through. It feels good to just have football back as a whole. My mode for the game itself, usually I'm in like, I started to get like the cold sweats when Kyle was here in the office when we were talking about the Sunday stuff. I started to get that like, it's coming. Like, it's almost game time. Like, let's get ready. Let's get rocking. And I'm like, all right, this is all good. I drove down to my dad's like I normally do. Sat in the same seat that I normally sit. I will preface it with this. If
I almost made a joke right away.
What? What were you going to say? What? Already?
Is that your like unlucky seat apparently because they...
We all sit in the same spots all the time. So it's either luck or no luck. There's no luck involved. It's a Sturgio family tradition.
I don't believe in the luck anyway.
You don't believe in anything. But I will say this. What is happening over there, AJ? You okay? Oh, okay. Well, that's a plus. Is your, whatchamacallit? Is it charged? Is it going to make it? So anyway.
Not quite.
Well, fine. Great. Well, let's make sure we plug that in.
It's charged.
All right. Here we go. We're charged up. But I will say this. Yesterday's demeanor. Typically, I'm like, you can't talk to me. I'm like, you know, I turn the phone on like airplane mode most years, you know.
I had to give AJ a stern warning when he asked about Zeke's usage, which we'll get to in a little bit.
Uh-huh.
I was just like, I texted him on the side. I was like, questions like that, if it could come off as like you're trying to poke the bear a little bit.
Right.
So I was like, just ask me those questions on the side. And he was like, wait, I don't get it.
I
was like, no. Dave gets a little rambunctious, we'll call it, during the Cowboy game.
Yeah.
So you should ask me.
Last night was different. I don't know what it was. I don't know. It might be a new mentality of mine. I don't know. But like last night, I watched the game. Here's my like thing. Like I watch a game. If I text you or I talk to you during the game, you are... without a shadow of a doubt, special to me because I don't talk to any. There's so many people that texted me throughout the game like, oh, you got to do this. Oh, you got
to
do that.
I think it takes a special understanding to know how to text somebody while their game is going on.
You said good luck. Like that opened the floodgate with you.
When the game ended, I wasn't like tough loss, but like, I don't do that.
No. There was one.
Go to bed, Dave.
There was like one.
Hold that L, boy.
Outside of like. outside of actually talking to
hold
like
that
Brett,
out there, bruv.
Brett and Keith, because we have to like to take notes for the podcast. There was only one other person I was talking to. So I was just
what
like,
Dave is doing right now, ladies and gentlemen, is he's explaining exactly what a moral victory is.
It's not a moral victory.
Even though they do not exist in football, Dave is explaining.
I'm telling you right now.
I'm going to explain to you your approach. And I think it was the same kind of approach that the Dallas Cowboys went into Tampa with, where it's like they're playing the defending champs. Nobody's giving them a chance. They're like two score
underdogs. I see one analyst
pick
the Cowboys.
Two score underdogs going into the game. All the money went on Tampa. And it was just, it allowed them to go in there and play loose. It allowed their fans to be loose. And you almost saw a result that worked out. But as said about a minute ago, there is no moral victories in football. It does suck. I was pulling for the Cowboys last night because fuck Tom Brady, but they just couldn't get it done.
I will get in more into the details of the game, but I will say this. I went to bed very, very mad at the result, right?
Of course.
But then I looked around them and I'm like, well, you know what? They went pound for pound, blow for blow with the champions, quote, the best team in football, and they lost by two on a last second field goal. Like,
yeah, it's a moral victory.
It's okay
because at least you got your moral victory against the defending Super Bowl champs. I'm going to get mine against Jameis Winston this week.
If this would have happened against like
that game,
if this would have happened against a bad
shit,
if this would have happened against a bad team, I would have been like this. I'm sick, you know. But it was against Tom Brady. Tom Brady did what Tom Brady did, you know. And we'll get more into the game in a little bit. But I would say that you know the Dallas Cowboys played a good football game. What is he saying? I don't know if I'm not sure positive night was for Dallas. All right, stop. All right, Kyle, just go away.
Don't read those like that.
Yeah, well, no. I read that like, yes, you have to score points off of turnovers. The Dallas Cowboys did not. They had three turnovers early.
We're going to break down the Cowboys game, right? We'll get into it.
This is my soft open.
look. We got a lot going on, right? The Gus Edwards, the Ravens are just abysmal right now.
First of all, if the Ravens, we'll get into that right now. If the Ravens were, and you know what? You don't believe in karma? I do. I believe in like, you know, good juju and all that good shit, right? Not Juju Smith-Schuster. He sucks. I would say this, AJ, this is a shout out to you, my friend. Okay. Yesterday on the podcast, you came out and brutalized the Cowboys secondary. You named the wrong guy. You said Trayvon Diggs was trash. And what happens hours later? The Gus bus loses all four wheels. That's karma. Be nice, okay? Root for everybody.
So this
definition of karma is like, what did Gus Edwards do?
Gus Edwards did nothing. This has everything to do with AJ's fantasy team.
So karma really works in a serious way.
Yes, it really does. Gus Edwards,
poor ACL, had to be a victim of AJ's karma.
Talking shit about the Cowboys, yes.
This is why I don't buy karma, dude, because people create loopholes in the whole karma world. To have it modified to their likeness.
Well, I modified the shit out of it to that. But I will say this. It's a very, very bad time to be a Ravens fan now.
They literally signed every single running back
like, if this team was 2015 Madden, you know, like all the guys they signed, they had the best running backs in football.
There was the mad rush for Tyson Williams, who I do think, through it all, will be the... He'll get the lion's share of the touches until he can't anymore.
I'm excited about Lev Bell. I don't know, man.
Look, there was a mad rush to pick up Lev Bell. Then it was Devontae Freeman.
Well, nobody's going to pick up Freeman.
Now it's Latavius Murray, who I think, out of the guys, is probably the best fit and replacement for a guy like Gus Bus. Right? Latavius Murray's a hard runner. I heard that there was a little bullshit going on in
New Orleans, he showed up to camp fat.
We'll see. I mean,
There's four guys. You know, how many reps is he going
to
get?
I'm trying to think of the running back that kept showing up to camp fat. He's the guy that punched someone. He went to Oregon. The fucking big LeGarrette Blunt. He kept showing up fat.
I was talking about your boy, Eddie Lacy.
No, well, LeGarrette Blunt, one of those guys where he kept showing up fat. He was one of those people that nobody liked in the locker room. But then his teammates always liked him, but the coaching staff didn't because he was always out of shape. But when it came down to it, he ran the ball well. It could be a case with Latavius Murray.
We'll see.
With the Ravens system.
Yeah.
I think a bigger loss is
secondary? Marcus Peters, one of the better corners in the league.
I wouldn't say bigger loss because right now the Ravens are struggling for any type of help on offense. Bateman out. Now Dobbins out.
Right.
Gus Edwards out. So, you know, there's not much help for Lamar going into this season. It's actually less help, and people were talking how he needed more help.
Right.
The Ravens defense, I think, has a little more ability to sustain an injury like that. Even though you know how important the secondary is.
Oh, my God.
Especially in their division with the receivers.
I mean, good thing for them, they do have a good pass rush. So, like, those corners won't, even the backups won't have to cover for too long. But that's a big blow.
In terms of, like, the caliber of player, I think, yeah, Peters.
And he's the loudest guy in the locker room.
Marcus Peters is hands down more important to that team
all right,
in terms of
skill. Riddle me this, Batman. Why on earth are they going so hard on a Thursday of game week? I get it. Maybe Friday's your walkthrough day, but like, you know, back-to-back plays. I'm hearing from what reports are saying.
But we're
what are we doing?
We're assuming that they were going hard. I don't know. I didn't see the film.
Look, it doesn't take. I mean, it does take a little bit of a violent act of move of your knee to tear your ACL. I've done it.
ACL trying to get around the coffee table about 15 minutes ago.
AJ almost did a trip over the light before he almost went down.
I was not. AJ actually took a spill yesterday.
Did he?
Yeah.
Yeah. He came in huffing and puffing. I was like, bro, are you good? He's like, it's slippery outside. I said, is that another way of saying that you just fell? He was like, yeah.
You know what? It was the pressure. It was like, you're about to host a show. And, you know, he was just tripping over his own feet.
It was after the show.
No, even better.
It was after the show. It was the anxiety was dumped out already.
Yeah,
And then he just
was. Yeah, so the Ravens are in trouble. So somebody else got paid heavy. TJ Watt was in a non-talked-about hold in Like there was not, this got no press.
There was a standoff, but it's because I guess he did it the proper way. There was a little bit of press. I heard Big Ben talking a little bit and chirping to the media, talking like he took less money so guys like TJ could get paid. The Steelers didn't.
I was going to say, no, TJ did not take less money.
The Steelers won. What they don't do is there's, I don't know exactly the parameters of what the Steelers have hard rules on with contracts and extensions. They just wouldn't break on something. I think it was something about guaranteed money, fully guaranteed money.
Right.
And TJ Watt's agents were advising him against taking the deal. He went against his agent's wishes, walked into the front office and said, look, let's get this done. Make whatever it's got to be. Let's
make it
that. That's
what a pro needs to do.
Easier said than done. They made him the highest defensive player of all time. I don't think it's fully guaranteed, and that was what his agents were fighting for. Or maybe,
I mean,
a couple,
you can't fully guarantee a defensive end's contract. That's insanity.
I agree. Point being is, it's easy to say to the rest of the league, that's how it's done when you get paid that contract. For the rest of the guys in the league, they're not in the same spot. So I think it's a situational thing, but I'm happy that he got paid. I do like him. Upset that the Packers took, I think they took Kevin King.
Yeah, well, we took TJ Taco Watt. Charlton, so try that on for size.
Not sure Taco. How that played out,
yeah, so, I mean, look, TJ Watt, cash is in. Feel good Friday. Oh, yep, I forgot to say that. I'd be remiss. But the whole he just gives me the Ashley vibes. I don't know. That's got to be her. But anyway, so, yeah, so TJ gets paid. So now I guess, what is this, Oregon versus Ohio State Saturday at noon?
It's probably the biggest college football game going for this weekend.
Okay, okay. You know, it's also big. Rutgers against Syracuse. No, I'm kidding. Well, it is big. But
No, it's not.
Ohio State last week, I want to say they didn't play up to their expectations. I would say it took them a little while. Who'd they beat? Minnesota? Yeah. So like,
they dropped 45 points on a Big Ten.
Yeah, but they also gave up a shit ton too. So that's, I know it's college football.
There was
there's a
never
lot more
really.
Scoring.
I wouldn't really put too much stock into that. Ohio State's going to be there in the end.
You know, I think it was AJ that I was talking to when the AP polls came out, like after this week. There's teams with 0-1 records still within the top 15, and I'm just like, how?
Well, Wisconsin just lost to Penn State, who's ranked fairly high.
Yeah, I know,
high.
But
so
still.
It's not like they're losing to a team that's
No, I know,
not
but it, college football rankings trick me up. You know what I mean? Like, they trip me up a little
it's
bit.
It's way too early to look at rankings, just so we're clear, right? Obviously, you get a barometer of how good the team is, but it's going to flip-flop a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if this is the highlight game of week two of the college football season, Oregon has a really good chance to shock a lot of people and move themselves up. If they get a win over the number three team in the country, more than likely they'll be a top 10 team, maybe even like top 8 team with a win. So, it you know, again, I got to get more involved with college football.
Yeah, I'm saying like I just know Ohio State's in the Big Ten. I know Oregon in the Pac-12. I know about these teams, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, well.
I'm going to be fully
Saturday, I got to figure. Well, Saturday, I'll probably find myself at the bar to watch Rutgers. I think I want to see them do work. I want to see them go 2-0 and have Jimmy Palumbo come strutting in here like McGregor on Monday, just arms flaring around like I'm the best. Here we go. He actually left me a really nice voice message right before we started recording. Just like, hey, bro, happy birthday. I know you're pissy right now. Like, that's the thing. I thought I'd be pissy too, but I woke up today just like feeling good. Why? And I think the Dallas Cowboys are going to be a pretty good team this year. I really do. So, segue into Thursday night football that went down last night. 31-29, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers get the dub over the Dallas Cowboys. Thank you for whoever said happy birthday. Those are great comments to get. But whatchamacallit. So, again, optimism is what I felt going to bed losing to a team like Tampa Bay. Dak Prescott. My God, you know, like Dak Prescott is that dude. I've been saying this for years now until off the mountaintops that Dak Prescott is going to be an elite passer in this league. And everybody's getting on my case about my top five rankings. And I put Dak in there at the top five by the end of this year, maybe even, you know, the middle of this year, y'all are going to concede to me. You will. I promise you. Anybody who doesn't have Dak Prescott in the top five of quarterbacks in the NFL, you will concede and say, Sturch, you were right. That's all I'm saying. The guy can throw. There was a lot of drop passes last night by CeeDee Lamb. Way too many. Michael Gallup gets hurt for a little while. We're waiting to find out exactly, you know, what's going on with him. Amari Cooper, bro, just ate up that corner. Had like 10 catches for 160. Like, it was easy.
Tampa Bay defense lost – Murphy bunting early to a broken arm. I think.
Did you
that
see
was,
that?
Yeah, it was kind of disgusting. Ugh, I couldn't God. Really look.
I had to tell look away, first, bro. That was disgusting.
Yeah, it looked like a little rubber band action happening on his arm. But I think that obviously helped. They beat that guy up all with 35. I don't remember his name.
And you know what's funny about that kid? I forget his name too because it's irrelevant for me. But when they were picking on him, like Collinsworth was out there saying like he's their better cover corner, and I'm like, are you sure?
No, yes. Collinsworth is a fucking idiot. Well, that's first. Second, the guy that came in for Murphy Bunting was their backup, so he couldn't have been their better.
Or they might have shifted.
So
I don't know.
They were attacking number 35.
That's what you got to do.
He looked like he was lost out there. He made a couple plays, but that's what happens when you play in the game. And they're just beating you up.
Yeah. The one thing I will say is that besides the whole Dak Prescott being really good thing, and you saw that dart he threw to CeeDee Lamb that was dropped. Like, that was a third and real long situation, and he dropped the ball right off his hands. At first, I'm like, what a shit throw, you know? Like, but then the replay, I'm like, oh, yeah, that one goes off CeeDee's. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. So I will say this, or the question that may rise to a lot of either Cowboys fans or football fans in general, or fantasy football owners like myself who has a Zeke Elliott on one of his teams, where the hell was Zeke, right? What happened there? My guess and my take last night when I was, you know, sitting there with my dad and my brother, I'm like, the Dallas Cowboys are taking what the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are giving them. And then I revert back to Mike McCarthy, who never had a running game in Green Bay. And I'm like, I hope that's not a sign of things to come for Dak Prescott. Sore shoulder. I put that all in quotes because that could have been wolf tickets too, as you say. Because if he has a sore shoulder, are you throwing the ball 58 times? 58 times. Some quarterbacks don't throw that in 2 weeks combined. Like, what?
I think if he's ready to go, they're going to
let it rip.
Him, then let it rip.
Right.
You can't really count. It's not a pitch count. It's the NFL. You got to get out there and do your job. As far as Zeke's usage, it has me a little worried, I'm not going to lie.
Well,
as a Zeke fantasy owner, and I'm going to shift gears a little bit towards just fantasy because I know that's what the most people are concerned about when it comes to Zeke. I think that there will be a lot of usage for Zeke going forward, but when the game script doesn't allow for it, it's just going to, you're going to see a lot of Tony Pollard.
That's what Kyle just brought it up too on the chat here. That might have been Kellen Moore saying, you know what? You guys got Sue, Vita Vea, Pierre Paul. We're not testing that.
The game plan worked well enough to keep Dallas in the game and obviously have a real chance to win the game late. But I feel like what we didn't get to see really was Tampa Bay's defense go all full throttle because Dallas didn't even test their front seven. They almost, the one thing, I don't want to quote Collinsworth or whoever, Al Michaels, but they said they really didn't even let, they didn't even play against Tampa's front seven because their scheme was just not going near it. And I guess that's smart.
Isn't it?
You have to have the offensive coaching to do it. But on third downs and situations where they were down later in the game, I would have liked to see more passes out of the backfield to Zeke. I talked yesterday about
100%.
The over 20 yards. I think they, you know, maybe they want to limit his usage because it's early in the season. But if they're not limiting Dak's usage, 55 passes, you got to imagine that they're not really trying.
There was a lot of yelling in the household for dump the shit off to Zeke. Like, why? Like, first of all, a complete running back in the NFL does everything. Runs, catches, and blocks. Did you see some of the blocks Zeke Elliott was laying last night?
I have nothing to say about Zeke, the football player. I have something to say about Zeke, the fantasy football owner myself.
Fine.
So, Zeke, you got to get it together, bro. Or Kellen Moore, Mike McCarthy. I need more touches for my boy Zeke.
He will. I believe that he will. I believe he gets that, you know, the necessary touches to go along. They got the Chargers next. We'll talk about that next week. But I'd be remiss not to talk about Tampa Bay. You know what I mean?
I'm
not one of these like, it's all about the Cowboys today. We'll talk about Tampa next week. No, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are who they are. They're the defending world champions. They're good at football, okay? That's why this loss doesn't burn me as much, because they are that damn good. And shout out, it was me, my dad, and my brother all standing in front of the TV at the end of the night, just kind of waiting for the, you know, post game, whatever. Well, we already lost the game. It was post game. We're all waiting for the loss. No, you know, there was times I looked at my dad where he was just like, are we gonna beat the jam? Like, there was times where we're like, oh my god, like the one person I was texting, I'm like, they're up by one with a minute to go, you know, I'm like, this is gonna happen. But then it's Tom Brady, and when he did his post game where he's like, we gotta clean things up, we gotta do all this, we gotta do that, and then at the end he's like, just want to shout out my parents and my kid, I'm just like, Ah, damn it. I can't even hate this guy.
No, I can't.
I know you can. I have
no issue there.
I can't, bro. This guy, it's the
all Brady. I'm just going to say it. I don't think Tom Brady played all that great.
Oh, I don't know about that, dude.
I watched the game too, Dave.
I understand, but bro, his release is so fast. It's not even funny. Like, every time you think, I'll do it right here. Every time you
Dave's
think.
Gonna he's going to imitate I'm a, I got Tom Brady imitation. Release.
Here we go, right? Gets to the line, right? Does this, does that.
Get ready
does
for all the slowest release in history, ladies and gentlemen.
The pre thing, right? So he said, oh, he's got there. You over here. Okay, you over here. He's all the fucking pre things ever. Gets that ball, right? He's looking. And before, like any other quarterback would do this, right? This guy does this. Yeah, like it's just that ball gets out of his hand so damn
that was so
fast.
Lightning fast.
I know, and my shoulder hurts now. Thank you.
But probably threw that bitch out the socket. Tom Brady played above average. He did what he always does. He plays. They actually came out firing early, and like Tom Brady's, all his stats were pretty much the first quarter. Second half, he really didn't do shit.
Right,
a lot of fucking bad throws. And I'm just gonna say it. Trayvon Diggs did play well, but Dallas.
Oh, he almost had that pick at the
Dallas's end. Secondary really isn't great still to me.
Anthony Brown should not be the starter.
So
Kelvin Joseph, our number one pick, is on IR for 3 weeks. So
being that Dallas's defense, I think they are what they are.
Middle of the pack. That's all I want.
At best. Tom Brady, you know, he didn't really have the craziest task yesterday. And he has a load of receivers.
There was no pressure either. He sat back there
exactly.
a lot.
Exactly. So the offensive line did their job. It's not like Tom Brady went out there and carved them up. It was just one of those like hard-fought wins, and he did enough late to win, as usual. But I'm not anointing Tom Brady. He didn't play all that great to me.
Godwin catch, is that a penalty?
Oh, so don't even get me started. The rule is, if the wide receiver extends his arms, draws contact, and it does something, that's the rule. That's an offensive PI.
I understand.
100 times out of 100. But to me, that's the Tom Brady factor.
On the back shoulder throw, I get it, because when the receiver stops dead, and then kind of, you know, it was one of those ticky-tacky things. If they would have called it, I would have been like, initially, in real time, I'm like, yeah, that was PI. I get why the ref didn't call it, but if I'm a Cowboy fan, I'm furious.
Here's the thing. I called it the Tom Brady effect. Like, they're not throwing that flag on that night in that moment against Tom Brady. Not doing it. That's just, to me, I think there's a certain bias with this guy, and I don't know what it is or whatever, but that was offensive pass interference. Another moment, I know you saw this. There was a moment, it was either Lavonte David or it was Devin White. Almost makes a play, right? He tips a ball. But immediately after he tips the ball and the play is over, he rips his helmet off and puts it down.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a 15-yard penalty. That's a 15-yard penalty any day of the week. Tell me why it wasn't called there. And then my dad also made a point, too. When Tom Brady's dropping back the pass while he's killing those downs off at the very end, setting up for the field goal, why isn't that grounding? There's nobody in sight. He's throwing a ball into the second row.
No, there was.
There was always a receiver there.
There was a receiver in the vicinity because that's the route he ran. But the ball is being thrown into the bleachers.
Yeah.
No. I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
Trust me.
You know what grounding is?
Yeah.
That's grounding is when you throw the ball to nobody.
That's not grounding because where the ball goes out of bounds, where the ball lands out of bounds isn't necessarily the point of where they're marking it from. If the ball clears, just picture it like a punt.
Yeah.
So if the ball goes out of bounds in air about 5 yards away from the wide receiver or the vicinity of the receiver, it's not grounding. If the ball goes out of bounds there. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I guess. I'm not going to sit here and dissect the ref crew. I'm not that guy, pal.
This is the difference. This is the things that separate.
Yeah, and Tom Brady. I said that in every preview I could do. You know, when it was here or the Jersey Boys or All About the Star podcast, like all the Cowboys shit, I said the ball needs to bounce our way a couple times, and it didn't.
In a game of inches and like last second plays and things like that, like you saw yesterday, Tom Brady's the guy that leaves no time whatsoever with those three shitty. You know, you look at Tom Brady's efficiency, it went down a little bit. Obviously, he's not there for the stats, but three straight incomplete passes out of bounds. And my father's like, what are they doing that for? I'm like, because he's literally going to give them
taking 3 seconds at a clip and give them no time. And then, ready for this? This is even, well, hold on. I'll get to that in a second. Ready for this play? That last play of the game. Did you see it? You see the last play?
No.
You did not. Okay, so the offense is off the field. And then the Cowboys have it with 1 second left. So they have to have one play. So you think to yourself, when you're a football fan, you know what's coming. You're on your own 25. There's no Hail Mary in sight, right? So what comes next?
Flea flicker.
The hook and ladder, right? The hook and ladder. Tony Pollard lines up as a quarterback, takes a snap. And I said to my brother, I'm like, I think they're just setting this up as if this is a kick return. They had their special teams unit out there. Wasn't even Dak Prescott. Not saying that, you know, he's going to be a miracle worker and throw something down the field and it's going to be a touchdown or anything. Just a weird play. Can we talk about Gronk for a second? That dude is back, bro. I mean, he is still that goddamn good.
I think you're going to see
size. He's just a big dude. You can't do anything with
him. They have so many weapons on Tampa's offense that, and to get to Kyle's question, is Mike Evans still an elite receiver? Yes, absolutely. And it's just like Mike Evans is still an elite receiver, you're still going to see Gronk be completely absent from game scripts this season because he wasn't even on the field the entire game. So Gronk, does he have it? Of course he has it. He has the rapport with Tom Brady, but there's so many weapons there that Mike Evans was pretty much shadowed by their best corner. They have AB, they have Godwin, they both popped. Gronk popped. So in certain games, maybe you'll take this guy out and then Mike Evans will show out a little bit. But no, Mike Evans is not washed. He's still...
I love Mike Evans.
Maybe he's not elite.
He just didn't have a good game last night.
Depends on what you want to say elite is. But after week one, that's a little...
I will say this, though.
Say that he's done.
I will say this. If Antonio Brown stays out of trouble, he's back.
I mean, for the most part, Antonio Brown's been staying out of trouble.
I'm just saying, there's been times where they're like, he's beating up his moving guy or something like that, or he's banging down doors.
I think that was when the media was
well, whatever the case may be.
He was in a little situation. But yeah, Tampa, Super Bowl ring later, Tom Brady effect, things like that kind of, keep people in line.
He's so good. He's so fast. I mean, he made Anthony Brown look like a freaking JV player. Like,
he's where he wants to be right now. So.
Yeah. I mean, and look, that team, that's why I keep saying this, and I'm not trying to beat it over the head, but like the Dallas Cowboys losing by two to that stacked offense gives me a little bit more hope and optimism going forward. That's all.
Now you got a tough Charger team.
We'll find out what the Chargers got. We'll talk about the Chargers in a little bit because they got themselves their hands full with who some are saying against a team that's going to win 12 games like the Washington football to get your ass.
This guy's
out
got
of here.
Dallas in the NFC Championship and he's worried about us having Washington win in 12.
Well, you're telling me I should worry about Chargers and I should not.
Well,
not
yet. You definitely.
I picked the Chargers to go to the playoffs. They're a playoff team.
I did too, I think.
But here's the thing. Here's what I'll say. And I said this earlier. I got here early to do the Jersey Boys podcast recording. With Tom Brady, he does all this stuff at the line, right? Makes the adjustments. Makes that adjustment to know when the blitz is coming and throw it to Gronk in that. I'm talking bang, done, right? I don't know if Justin Herbert's there yet. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know if he has that reaction time.
But Justin
so that Herbert, might be different.
Justin Herbert has other things that Tom Brady doesn't have.
His wheels, he could probably run a little bit. I get that. Athletic. I'm totally different quarterback. I'm just saying.
He's got a fucking bazooka attached to his shoulder.
I think all the quarterbacks in the league have a bazooka
like
at this point.
110 yards.
But in any event. So that's it. Dallas Cowboys are 0-1. So shout out to everybody that was tuning into the game yesterday just to see me weep. I'm not weeping. I'm here. I'm strong. Here I am. Happy birthday.
Now we go to break, and when we come back, we talk about the NFL matchups on Sunday.
Sounds good. Guys, it is almost time for the best time of the year, and that's tailgate season. And when you think about tailgates, you're thinking about beers and you're thinking about food. And when you're thinking about food, you're thinking about hot sauce. I'm talking about Silk City Hot Sauce. It's a mom and pop business from Vermont that produces hot sauce with locally grown peppers. There's several blends and flavors. Here's just a few. You got Slurp, which is fresh peaches, honey, Vermont apple cider, habanero and cherry pepper blend with a hint of smoked jalapeno. We got the Badass Jew, which is four pepper blend jalapeno, cherry pepper, serrano, and habaneros with tomato, roasted red peppers, roasted garlic, and Mexican seasoning. Good Morning Jonestown, which is a smoked habanero and smoked serrano with carrots, roasted peppers, garlic, onions, and a splash of white vinegar. Killer Hot is their second hottest three-pepper blend featuring Fatale, habanero, and ghost with roasted red peppers, garlic, and honey. Ghost Whisper is a pile of ghost and habanero with roasted peppers, garlic, onion, and red vinegar. It's a very powerful sauce with a deep and delicious flavor. And you guys got to check out the artwork on these bottles. Silk City uses professional comic book artists to create the coolest looking hot sauce in the biz. They offer great deals when you purchase the 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 mix and match packs. Go to silkcityhotsauce.com and use the coupon code CHOP. You're going to receive 20% off your order. You're going to receive a free bottle and you're going to get some stickers along with that. That's silkcityhotsauce.com. All right, we're back. Thank you almost for totally dropping a really, really bad word on the air, AJ. I'm back. I don't know about it's Gucci.
A bad word.
It's a bad word.
This gaff, yeah?
It was the bad word. So, look, I'm going to gracefully put week one behind me. Now, it's, to me, it's stress-free going forward. Not so much for you, Gooch. You have yourself an opener. So now we get to see you in your natural habitat get ready for the Packers opener, which takes place in Jacksonville against the Saints. I know, sounds weird. That's what's happening. But we'll preview all of the, not preview, but pick the games at least.
No, we'll go into a little bit of a preview of at least some of them. Some of these
it is a football
shit.
Friday
and
after
it's
all.
Week one, so it's hard to really, you know.
I'm putting that on the screen because why not? Thank you, Scoop. Appreciate you, bruh. But anyway, so the NFL, it's here. Your fantasy teams. Look, yesterday we worked out all the kinks. Well, at least we talked about all the kinks that we want to work out for this Sunday stream. So, look, this is the deal. If you're going to a bar, then obviously it's irrelevant. If you're home and you want to get that camaraderie, talk to the boys feeling and the girls, talk to whoever is watching football at the time, You're gonna be here live with us in the chop living room.
All of your fantasy questions that will be.
It's gonna be fun, man. We're gonna set up
fun.
We're gonna
have no idea how it's gonna go.
We're gonna have four TVs running in here. We're gonna definitely light this place on fire. Literally, you know, this place will blow up. But it is what it is. I mean, we had a good run, right? But I think four TVs will be happening. We got the sauce coming in. We got
Chop Sauce Live.
Chop Sauce Live, I think, is what we're going with because it's us. It's the sauce. It's the pick bitch, Dina. We're all going to be in here doing our thing and hanging out, having a good time, watching football. The rules are you literally can't show you the game. So you're going to be at home watching the game anyway. So or wherever you are watching the game. And we're going to be able to provide you with fantasy
advice.
So
basically, if you have no friends like me and you stay home on Sundays to watch football by yourself, just tune into the show and you'll be with us.
What an infomercial. Right? I like basically it. How if you have no friends, calling all of you losers out there with no friends.
Or better yet, say you're a dad, right? And you got to go take your kids to practice and you got to go watch a Pop Warner football game and then you got to watch your daughter cheerlead. And then you come home and you're like, you know what? I don't really want to go to the bar. I'm not going to call my one friend. So I'm just going to sit home and watch this game while my wife makes some chili. All you got to do is tune into Facebook Live or YouTube Live and watch this Chop Sauce Live, baby.
Yeah, so that's going to be us. We're going to be hanging with us. I will. This is a disclaimer that it's working out this week because the Cowboys already played. When the Cowboys are on,
Dave won't be here.
I am a ghost. I'm sorry. I have a tradition. I love Chop Sports than most things in my life, but I will be with my family.
But Kyle and myself will be taking the lead along with AJ as far as like the pre-show. From 12 to 1, we're going to give you a little bit of Kyle's picks because
he's the
guy that does that. So Kyle will handicap a couple games, not his games of the week because you got to pay for those.
Yeah, it's a premium service, folks.
But we'll handicap the games. Kyle will either answer questions. I'll give you my stardom sit-em. AJ will give you a few last-minute injury advice, updates.
Yeah, like Gus Edwards. I'm just gonna rub that in AJ's open wound. But he'll be fine. Hey, what was your move? Your corresponding move, AJ?
There is none. There's several because he has Gus Bus in like five leagues. But
so there was no like you didn't pick anybody up.
In the 16 man, there's really nothing you could
not
do
the
right 16 now.
Man, there's no free agents.
You didn't draft properly, and Tyson Williams was not on your roster.
Tyson Williams and Le'Veon Bell have been gone, and honestly, I'm not picking up Latavius Murray. It's going to be a full blown committee.
He's probably on.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. anyway,
Eagles at Falcons.
Yeah, let's start it off, baby. It's football preview day. All right, so yeah, Atlanta favored by 3. Over under 48. I've been saying it all season, off season, or at least leading up to the season, that the Philadelphia Eagles were going to be a bad football team. I don't believe in Jalen Hurts yet. I think he's got skills. Don't get me wrong. He's a good quarterback, right? I just don't know if the coaching's there. I don't know if the defense is there. I don't know anything about this team, really.
I feel like the coaching, I'm not going to say the coaching isn't there because I have not seen one play called by
them. That's why
yet.
I said I don't know
so
if the coaching
is
there.
So we don't know. I didn't say the coaching wasn't there. Judging by his press conference, it sucked. I believe that Jalen Hurts is a good player. I think Jalen Hurts, with the offense molded around him, he has more weapons. Last year, he had Greg Ward, was his wide receiver one. Jalen Reagor, who had played 8 games in his NFL career, was banged up all season. Mm. They had nobody. Who was their other receivers?
Eagles?
Travis
Fulgham.
Fulgham.
I think he's on the practice squad
They didn't really have any weapons. They they didn't really have the offense built around him. The front office was fighting with the coaching staff. Now, yes, if you watch Matthew Berry's takes on Jalen Hurts, it's probably almost verbatim, but he's right. I know AJ doesn't fuck with Matthew Berry, but I do like Matthew Berry, and I believe that Jalen Hurts might have a top 10 fantasy season this year.
Bold take here by Chris Nugent. Their offensive
line has potential to be top five. They got two all pros back from injury. So there is reason for optimism on the offensive side of the ball with Devontae Smith. Rager maybe taking that second year leap after a rookie bust.
Mm.
As stated, the offensive line.
They're getting older.
Atlanta, on the other hand, I feel like Atlanta's abysmal.
I picked them to win two games. This might be one of them.
Stop anybody. I don't think Philly's going to stop many teams this year. But Atlanta's definitely not going to stop anybody.
Pound that over. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, if it's 48,
I like the over a little bit in this one.
Just according to the source, though, I will read his comment. I want to bring it over the graphic here. But most books are bumping it to 3.5 because the money is coming in on Atlanta. If you want to wait till Sunday and you're looking for that, you know, that 3.5 spread, you might want to wait till then. But right now, spread is 3. AJ, what's your pick?
I'm taking Atlanta -3 at home. I think they got enough offensively to get the job done.
All right, Gooch.
And as I say before, all of my picks, do not take this as gospel. I am not a handicapper.
But why? Because not a lot of people are. But they know why?
Because I'm not betting on the games. So I'm not going to say before every pick I make, but if I'm not placing my money on this, I don't want you to come off. I don't want to come off as like I'm saying this extremely confident.
We're just trying to make picks.
I'm just making my picks. That's it.
All right. Go ahead.
We're just making picks so that we could keep track of who's the best at the end of the season.
But to be fair, last night there was a little incident on the Twitterverse between one of the trolls and Davey over here.
What are you talking about?
Where everyone, this guy was saying that our picks
LYLY 6744429993.
I don't want to give him any burn, but we don't make
picks. He's a loser. He's a troll. If you're on the internet,
confident. There's nobody more confident than me when it comes to football knowledge, but.
I will say this. If you're on Twitter and you have an egg as an emoji or avatar or whatever, you're a loser. You're an absolute loser. Go get a picture. I'll take a picture of you. Just replace yourself.
That said.
Anyway.
That said, I like Philly.
You like Philly? Yeah. So giving the 3.
Getting the 3.
That's what I meant.
And a half because it's going to go up a half.
No. So we're going based off this pick. All right. You like Philly?
What, 48? Yeah.
I'm pounding the over. If I'm a gambling man, I'm pounding the over. I will say Atlanta gets this done. I only got Atlanta winning 2 games this year. This is one of them. So I think they win the opener. I think Calvin Ridley has a nice little game. I like Matt Ryan in an opener. As time goes on with Matt Ryan, I think he's going to find himself struggling a little bit. And the defense is really bad, but I don't think that I don't believe in Philadelphia. So give me Atlanta -3.
Darius Slay is going to be going to have to retire after big this play game Slay. Because he's going to be so embarrassed by Calvin Ridley.
Good for Slay. Next. Who's next?
Steelers at Bills.
All right.
Buffalo favored by 6.5 as of the making of this graphic.
Yesterday,
I don't know if that has moved. The over under is 49. Fine. So
can I take this one?
Yeah, go right
ahead. I'm going to start this one off. This might be your 5-star bet right here. This is the bet to make. Take Pittsburgh. Take Pittsburgh, bro. 6.5? Nah, man, come on. I don't think that at all. 6.5. I'm going to take the Steelers with the points here. I think that the Bills are going to roll throughout the season, but opening week, 6.5 against a Pittsburgh Steelers defense, not my cup of tea. Not my cup of tea. I'm taking the Steelers.
This is a tough one.
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead, AJ.
All right. Well, I'm going ahead and I'd probably take Buffalo in this game. I just think that, simply put, the Steelers are going to struggle offensively, and I don't know if they're really going to get anything going. I think Buffalo outclasses them.
Go ahead, Gooch.
I don't really like either team in this game as far as the point spread goes. I would stay far away from this. I feel like they're begging people to take Pittsburgh at 6.5. Pittsburgh, I need to know what Big Ben is going to show up. That offensive line is patchwork at best. Najee Harris could be special. We just don't know what Pittsburgh is bringing to the
week
table.
Week one's the hardest week in the world.
Their defense is going to be tough to score points on.
Yeah.
But Buffalo is dynamic on the offensive side of the ball. I don't think they're going to be able to run the ball at all against Pittsburgh.
They don't really have a solidified number one either. Like Zach Moss, Devin Singletary, that run offense is not impressive.
For the sake of the Bills' passing attack, that's another story. For the sake of having to make a pick, I'll go Pittsburgh.
With the points. All right, cool.
Getting the points. But I'll also take the under in this one.
Okay. Next. Make sure, hey, by the way, I know we're going to be keeping track of all of our picks.
Yep.
Right. By the way, I did take the Cowboys last night. So, like, you guys lose your Cowboys pick as a part of our standings because you both took them minus fucker whatever it was, 8.5, 9. I did take them with the points. But
Dave's explaining away yet another moral victory.
I'm just saying, if I was a gambling man, I won my bet. So, eat it. But I will say, make sure that you do write down all the spreads and stuff just to make sure that we have these going forward. But.
Minnesota at Cincinnati. Minnesota on the road, given 3. Over under 48. Yeah, I have a dog in this race, obviously.
You do,
in
my
division, so
yes.
I'm rooting against Minnesota. I don't think it's going to fare well. Cincinnati's passing attack could be special this season. Joe Mixon, is he going to be back full health?
Has he ever been back full strength ever in his career?
I guess we're going to
find out. His entire career, he's been questionable.
Is Joe Burrow talking about the Dak injury and how is he going to make out? How is Joe Burrow going to show up with the ACL?
Very
I feel
true.
Like coming back from a knee is a little harder than coming back from an ankle. So we'll see.
I'm going to. Did you make a pick?
I did not.
Go for it.
I mean, it's hard for me to pick the Vikings, but I almost have to because their receivers are really good. Dalvin Cook is good. Cincinnati's defense is really bad. I don't think they're going to be able to keep up with Minnesota's offense.
Okay.
So, Minnesota. AJ?
I'm going ahead. I'm taking Cincinnati in this game. I'm expecting some big things from the boy, Joe Burrow, in this one. I love the value. I'm taking the home dogs.
I am also taking the home dogs here. I'm taking Cincinnati. I think Joe Burrow, they bring the heat. Their defense, yes, very suspect. The Vikings offense is their, I want to say that they're okay. Justin Jefferson coming back for another year, and everybody's excited about Thielen and Cousins, and I get it. But I'm taking the Bengals here. The home dog to me is always a disrespectful thing. So I'm taking Cincinnati.
Yeah. Part of me wants to take Cincinnati, but
all right. Gooch is riding with Minnesota. What's next?
We got San Fran versus Detroit.
This spread could be 14. And I'm still
is this
San
a trap?
This has to be one of the weirdest spreads ever. I mean, I know it's in the, first of all, it's in the dome. You know what I mean? Like, it's the perfect playing conditions for this San Francisco team in which we all picked yesterday to have over 10, 11 wins, right? So, and we all picked that the Lions won't win a game. So now it's about who's rusty, who's not. And apparently, the minute I walked in here yesterday, you guys are spitting off that DeAndre Swift is a murderer.
He's not. Upon further review, he is not, in fact, a murderer.
It does not come out?
He did not murder anybody.
Ah, damn.
No. So Jamal Williams' fantasy value is
shit.
Didn't go down as the Detroit Lions starter.
All right. So I'll just start off. I think the Niners are way better than this. The 49ers fans are going to rejoice after this one. I think they're going to be like, wow, I can't believe we won by that much. The Lions are a very, very bad football team. You can't name more than two starters. Well, three starters, maybe their quarterback, their running back, and their tight end.
Who can't?
I'm just saying it's a general statement.
Okay.
I'm not saying that we don't know the depth chart. I'm just saying there is a very non-who's who of the Detroit Lions. Give me the Niners all day. All day. AJ.
I mean, I know this is such a rookie pick, but I'm gonna take the Niners -7.5. Like, I could see the Niners themselves hitting the over in this game. That's how bad Detroit's defense is. That offense is innovative. They've got a lot of good weapons. I like the Niners in this one, but honestly, this is a trap, and it reeks of it.
Coach,
Detroit's the worst team in football, arguably, so I'm not going to pick them until they prove that they're worthy of my pick. Now, just to touch on the fantasy side of things, if you're looking for a flex guy, if you're in on the Gus Bus and Trey Sermon he's definitely not available in leagues, but if you have Trey Sermon on your roster, his projections are awfully low for, I guess it's because
that's volume. That's a volume thing.
But I just think that there's potential that Mostert and Trey Sermon are both startable this week, and they both might score a touchdown. I just think it's going to be an all-out assault running the football against Detroit this week.
All right. Sorry, Lions, you lose. Next.
This is an interesting one. Cardinals at Tennessee.
Yeah, I don't think it's as interesting as you think. We all said that the Cardinals could be either really decent or really bad. This is going to be one of those tests early, and I know nobody likes to hear that I give a crap about the whole West Coast to East Coast thing at 1 o'clock. That means something to me. I'm sorry. I don't care how. Yeah, I get it. You're an adult. You should be able to wake up and play football because you're a pro. This game, to me, is a Cardinals 10 a.m. start. They're going to be sluggish. Kyle Murray's going to struggle. The Titans offense is billed as correctly build. You know what I mean? I think their offense will flourish.
Bro, my nephew plays football at 8 a.m.
I don't care what your nephew does.
11.
But I do care that he plays football. It's great. But yes, that's what we used to do as children. We used to play at 9, 10 o'clock in the morning. The Arizona Cardinals will struggle in this one. Give me Tennessee minus the 3.
I think Tennessee is just a better football team. I'm not a believer in the Cardinals. I think that they have some sexy position players at in the right spots where people think that they're better than they are. Like when I say that, I mean they have the splash players. They have Kyler Murray. He can make things happen with his legs and with his arm. Obviously, Hopkins is who he is. But beyond that, I'm just not sold on this team's offense. Offensive line, I don't know enough about them. Defense, I feel like at best they could be middle of the pack. They play in a tough division. This is a game that they almost need because when they get into their division games, I don't know if they even get one.
Correct.
Tennessee's good. Derrick Henry, Julio, A.J. Brown, Tannehill, probably the most underrated quarterback.
A lot of offense.
With Tennessee, baby.
All right. A.J.?
I mean, I think it's going to be a shootout, but I think Tennessee ultimately comes away victorious.
Yeah, Tennessee's corners is probably their weakest part of their whole team. Mm-hmm. And if there's one way that Arizona could take advantage, it's obviously through the air. So
the
shootout is right.
The saucy McSaucerson pick. Titans pass defense is suspect. The Cardinals run defense is suspect. Neither can stop the other's strength. Give him the over at 53. Exactly. So if you're he said 53. It's 51.5 here. So we'll figure that out.
Everybody's taking the over.
Yeah, that's definitely hard money. Who's next? All right. So
who is next?
The Colts and the Seahawks. Yeah. Seahawks are favored on the road in Indianapolis minus 2.
I find it weird that anybody... I don't know. I never call them the Seahawks. I just say Seattle. That's one of the teams that I just never say their name.
Really?
The Seahawks. Sounds weird to me. Anyway, moving on.
Interesting.
Seattle.
Interesting.
Seattle minus 2.
At Indianapolis, in the dome. Carson Wentz is a go. So that's his new team. That defense of Seattle is bad. I think this might be a very easy play, too. I'm taking the Colts. Plus 2 at home against the Seattle Seahawks. I mean, that's just, I don't know, man. I'm taking the Colts here. And I don't think the Colts are going to be that good.
These are two teams that you've kind of been down on going into the season. You're not a big believer in Seattle for one reason or another. I guess it's their defense. The Colts, I'm not necessarily as down as I was on the Colts when we did the AFC South predictions, which was like a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
They have since gotten healthy. I don't think they're going to hit that 10-win total, like Kyle says. I'm pretty sure Kyle is heavy in on the Colts this week.
Yeah, he claims Zeus himself couldn't get him off the Colts.
I didn't even see that comment. So
you're going to go with the Colts?
I'm going to be honest. I honestly like Seattle, but because of Kyle's how confident he is, I'm choosing to not fade the sauce, and I'm going to go with Kyle on this one, and I'm going to pick the Colts.
All right, AJ, you sticking with the sauce? You having yourself some sauce or what?
Yeah, I'm having myself some sauce this Sunday, and I'm going ahead, and I'd be riding with the Colts on this one. It's a smart play. I think that if there's any game for the Colts wide receivers to get a groove going, it would be against Seattle's horrible secondary. Seattle's defense is not going to be able to handle the rushing pressure that Jonathan Taylor's going to provide. Colts are going to win that one.
He is providing rushing pressure. It's a new one.
That is a new one. All right, so we're on the calls. Yeah, here
Chargers
we go.
Chargers versus the football team.
Let's see how confident you clowns are calling for the Washington football team to win 12 games.
The Washington football team, a defense like that, getting points at home, a point at home. This is basically a pick 'em.
Definitely a pick 'em.
But, yeah, I just think, going to see a nice matchup. We got Herbert going against Chase Young. Is this rookie of the year against rookie of the year?
Yes.
Was Chase Young a rookie last year?
Yes.
Yeah, he was, wasn't he?
Two pick in the draft.
So, listen. All right, so you're taking the Washington football team,
yeah,
obviously. AJ, with your 12 wins, this better be one of them.
100% Washington football.
Okay, cool. Fitz is going to have a little trouble. I think he's not going to move the ball as much as we're all high on Antonio Gibson, that running game. That's going to be good. I think Fitz is going to turn the ball over a little bit. I think they're going to turn the ball. The Chargers are a playoff team to me. The Chargers are a playoff team, and if they're going to be a playoff team coming out of the much difficult AFC West, because those games are always tight, and they got to deal with the Chiefs twice a year. The Chargers are going to win this game. The Chargers are going into Washington winning this game. Now, give me the Chargers -1 on the road against Washington.
Homer pick.
Not a homer pick. I said I was on the Chargers bandwagon. That's why I'm doing it. The New York football Jets travel to Sam Darnold and the Carolina Panthers. This could be the game of the week. This is one of the games that I'm looking forward to most because I've been on the Zach Wilson hype train for a long time now. I'm very excited to see Zach Wilson do what he does. I'm very excited. Boy. Yes, that's what I meant to say. What I really meant to say. I'm going to go with the number's pretty large here. I think the 5-point spread, I got Carolina as another sneaky good team this year, but give me the New York football Jets +5 against the Carolina Panthers. Robert Saleh goes in there. What's he say? All gas, no brakes. The New York football Jets are going to win a game and we'll pick the Giants in a little bit, but after 1 week of play, we might only have one team in New York with a win. So we'll see. Well, I'm going to go with the Jets. Give me the Jets.
I'm going with the Jets. I feel
that, Homer.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm going to
take the Jets. He has purchased the All Gas No Brakes t-shirt from ChopSports.shop, by the way. Go ahead.
I think similar to, Joe Judge, where the players really fight for him. I think the players are going to fight for my guy, Robert Saleh, every single game. And this is going to be a tough one. But even if we don't win, I think we at least keep it close. So I'll take Jets with 5 points.
Ooh, AJ with the Sturge approach.
I think Sam Darnold's going to be bringing the fire, and I'm not just talking about his red hair. I'm talking about he's playing with some passion this week.
He's playing Carolina, with some coaching this week.
I like their receiving core, Robbie Anderson, DJ Moore. They got CMC back. There's no answer on the Jets defense for McCaffrey right now. I think you guys are buying a little too much into the Zach Wilson hype. I'm all in on Zach Wilson as a pro. Game one. Carolina's got some special players on their offensive side of the ball. The Jets defense is not good. They lost a lot of their what they were bringing to the table. And what's his name? The guy that just tore
Bless?
Who?
I didn't know who you were talking
Lawson?
About. Lawson, yeah.
Yes. Tore, you know, so their pass rusher's out. You know, the Jets stink. Until the Jets don't stink, the Jets aren't going to win games.
So you're taking Carolina, right now, obviously. The Jets stink. All right.
I think that Elijah Moore is a potential sneaky fantasy start. Same way Trey Sermon was. I'm not sure Carolina's secondary is going to be able to deal with the Jets.
No, and you know what?
Like points being scored.
All three of us talked about this game. All three of us picked this game. Now one of us mentioned Christian McCaffrey. That's kind of weird. I don't think you did.
Yeah, so they have no answer for CMC.
Oh, all right, maybe I tuned out for a second.
And talk about a guy that's coming to play. You know, like we talk about the injury in the first game back. We'll see how McCaffrey responds. I don't think he got any burn in the preseason.
We shall see. We shall see. Go Jets. Here we go. So, the game of the week. This right here is your main event of the evening. It's scheduled for four quarters. It is the Houston Texans, led by Tyrod Taylor, to take on the Jacksonville Jaguars and Sunshine himself, Trevor Lawrence, gets his first NFL start. This is what the people want to see. These are the games and the matchups, the marquee stuff. This should be already be flexed to Sunday Night Football. And when I say that, I mean that with no sincerity whatsoever. But I will take the Jacksonville Jaguars getting 3 on the road against a very, very bad.
They're giving 3.
Giving 3. I never know. I always say minus or plus. I never do the getting giving. I suck at it because I always like trip myself up. They are -3 on the road in Houston. Give me the Jaguars. Give me Sunshine's first win. Unfortunately, Urban Meyer is going to get a win. Nobody really seems to like him. He's got a punchable face. Just want to give him the right hook. Now, look, I will preface this, but the Jaguars could have plagued their entire season by cutting Tim Tebow. The Lord works in mysterious ways, folks. I don't know about this, but I will give them the week 1 win. So what,
they're going to win 3 games instead of the 4?
I got them winning like 6. Mm. Trevor Lawrence is going to be a little bit better than what you think, bro.
No, you have no idea what I think of Trevor Lawrence then, because I think Trevor Lawrence is going to be good, and he's going to be better than Zach Wilson. Maybe. We'll see.
But we'll see.
At least this season he will be, because I believe in the Jacksonville receiving core. I believe that Trevor Lawrence, just judging by the little bit of a preseason sample that we saw, I think that he has a chance to be special right out of the gate. Jacksonville, I don't even know who's on their defense, because as soon as I feel like I learn that, oh, they have him, he's traded. So they trade their defensive players away like it's going out of style. But the Texans are also in the same boat where I don't even know a Texan player.
They just traded their only gun at corner.
And I say that jokingly. I know the Texans players, but they suck. That's the problem. The Texans suck. Jacksonville gets one of their only 3 wins of the season, potentially.
All right, we'll see. So Jacksonville, AJ?
What is it? I got the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Texans with one win each in my predictions. They're against each other. Texans are going to get the win at home this weekend. I like it with the plus 3 points. Obviously, Vegas wants you to take Jacksonville with only a minus 3 line, but smarter play.
You know who's also joining us today on the stream right now, besides Kyle, is the Toast.
The Toast.
He's from Alaska.
The Toast, all the way from,
all for away from Alaska. He's on the stream. 49
to the 50th state.
It's the 50th. Maybe. Sure.
Yeah.
I don't know. Sure.
You guys sound very confident.
Yeah, about I don't know, man. That could be wrong. Could be wrong. All right. What do we got next?
Okay, bro.
The actual game of the week.
This is
the Browns and the Chiefs. Yeah, I guess this definitely is a
definitely the game of the week.
I would say so myself. The Browns at the Chiefs. The Chiefs at home, favored by 6.5 points. I think this might be a little closer than what people think, but I think ultimately towards the end, Mahomes is Mahomes. He does what he does. He flexes on these cats, and the Kansas City Chiefs roll. Give me the Chiefs minus 6.5.
It would have been amazing if you would have just picked Cleveland just now after he picked the Chiefs to go 20-0 yesterday.
Don't you think I know that?
They could still win by 4.
This is true. Right, exactly. So, but I will take them. Give me the 6.5 all day. Chiefs roll. 1-0.
AJ, you're up.
I feel like I should take the Browns. I'm going to take the Browns plus 6.5.
Bro.
I just think that the Browns defense is a lot better than a lot of people give them credit for, and it's going to show out a bit this game. So
I think everybody gives the Browns defense credit. Maybe not as much credit as the Chiefs offense gets, and rightfully so. The Chiefs are just dynamic. I think Odell Beckham Jr. will be hurt by the middle of the first quarter.
Jesus Christ.
But
oh, my God.
Beyond that, Baker, I think Baker's better than I give him credit for. Their running game is going to be the key here. If Cleveland could run the football effectively and keep the ball out of the Chiefs' hands as much as possible, then there's a chance for Cleveland. I like Cleveland getting the points, to be honest, but I like Kansas City to win, but
so where are you going?
Yeah, I guess.
How about you make a pick, Mike?
I'm gonna take the Browns, bruv.
Okay, the Browns plus 6.5. AJ, did you already pick?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, guys. I was in text mode there for a second.
It's all right, bruv.
All right, moving on. What do we got? Ah, yes.
The good one.
Ah, yes. Now, look, I was gonna say something, and it, maybe it was you guys that did this for me, because that was some of the part of the show that I did listen to live yesterday when I was able to. I think you guys have sold me on Mac Jones. Like, I've been sold on him to an extent, and then they cut Cam, and then it's like this, that, and the third. But now it's like the Mac Daddy has arrived.
I love a quarterback with some titties, bro.
Yeah.
Mac Jones is a fucking man's man. He's out there shirtless, smoking a cigar.
So was Tom Brady when he first came around.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So
yeah, he's the anti-Tom Brady to me, because he's the guy that Belichick took to, like, hopefully overcome the Brady success that he's having. You know how that whole thing goes.
Right. I'm gonna ride with Mac on this one. New England at home. I do like the Dolphins this year. I do. I think they're in a much improved team. I think Tua is gonna be a lot better than he was last year, given the fact that he's getting the entire, you know, load right now, because last year was mixed up. Oh my goodness. give me the Patriots, give me Mac Jones, give me the Mac Daddy. Bill Belichick starts to also get very excited and visits the same place that Robert Kraft went to. We're going to go with AJ. Go ahead.
I'm going with the Patriots here, minus 3. I guess I really like Mac Jones that much. I don't know what's going on here. Still a Jets diehard, but Patriots minus 3.
I just think Miami struggles on the road in New England historically. They're lucky they get to play him in September instead of
December. Yeah.
But I do like Brian Flores. I think he's a really good coach. I like Miami's offense. They have some key pieces over there. Gaskin, want to see more out of him. He was banged up, but when he did play, he was, like, really good last year. So I think he's a little underrated. I just think that the Patriots are hungry to prove that they're not shitty. And Bill Belichick is a great head coach, and Mac Jones is better than people think already.
All
because
right.
He beat out Superman himself and Cam Newton.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Mac Jones, I'm going to go more so with the Patriots defense, although Miami's defense is a solid stream in fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll probably start them in one.
All right, so you're going with New England.
I'm
going
to go with New England.
All right, clean sweep there.
Probably going to be a push.
To the other local game for the week. It is your New York football Giants hosting the Denver Broncos. 4:25 start. The Denver Broncos favored on the road by 2.5. So the way I look at it is like this. Again, one of those situations where they're coming from the west to the east. All right, but this is a later start, so we can't really talk about that. So I'll leave that one out of this pick. The New York Giants, I've said, are the more improved team in the NFC East outside of my Cowboys getting better on defense and Dak Prescott returning and all that shit. I will say the Giants have improved. They have a good defense, right? A good defense. Daniel Jones, not sold on him. I don't think a lot of Giants fans are sold on Daniel Jones yet. I will say this. I potentially, maybe this is my fantasy head talking a little bit, I think Saquon Barkley goes off here. I think Saquon Barkley shows that everybody that, okay, you had me questionable the entire week. You didn't. There was no pads. There was no contact throughout the whole preseason, right? Saquon Barkley gets back to form. I think the Giants kind of roll in this one.
A little bit of wishful thinking there, brother.
Well, I think outside of that, I think the Giants roll. I think this is like a 10-point win for the New York Giants.
I think Denver's strength is their defensive line and Giants' weakness is their O-line.
I'm talking about dumping that bitch out to the side and letting Saquon do his thing.
Fair. So if Saquon does go off, I don't think it's going to be running the football. I think that there's chance he has 10 catches.
Correct.
So, yeah. But his yards per carry average will probably remain an abysmal 2.1 yards per carry, just correct, like it was last year.
Probably.
I don't know. The Giants' offensive line sucks. Denver, they have some weapons, bro. Jerry Jeudy, Cortland Sutton back, Noah Fant. I'm a big Javonte Williams guy. Yeah. And Melvin Gordon, while he's kind of a little past his best days, that coaching staff in Denver's old school, they're going to run the shit out of the football. Giants have a good secondary, so I think you're going to see one of those game management games. That being said, I like the under. It's hard for me to bet against the Giants at home because I think that they're a tough team and they play a good idea. I don't really mind betting against a team at home getting points, but I mind when the team has a really good defense because I think that's who gets most offended. I think when you have a defense that gets fired up, they're counting us out, and the defense comes to play. So, Joe Judge, Giants. I guess I'll take the points in this one.
Okay, all right. The Giants. Tough. You're taking the point. Giants.
Giants are getting points.
Yes. Sorry. Okay. Go ahead.
I'm going to take the Broncos minus 2.5. As we were talking about before, I think that the Broncos defensive line is going to be a problem for the Giants O-line. And I think the Broncos have the weapons in order to get this game under their control. I have the Broncos minus 2.5.
All right. Two more to go, including Gooch's game of the week. It is the Green Bay Packers visiting the New Orleans Saints, but when I say visiting, this game will be played in Jacksonville due to the hurricane. We hope everybody's doing okay down there. I know that they showed live shots last night. Wow. Just wow.
I'd say that this is probably the hardest game to handicap going into this week one. And I say this because who knows anything about the Saints right now? Does anybody have any clue what the Saints are about this year?
Outside of that, they're always competitive, you know, like they're always competitive.
I feel like both sides of the ball, each unit could go either way. I think their offense could surprise a lot of people. If they get some guys back, Michael Thomas in, like, I think week 4 or 5. As it stands now, their tight end is up in the air. They don't even know who their starting tight end is. The only thing that's certain about this team is that Jameis Winston's their quarterback and Kamara is going to get the ball every play. That's the only two things I could think of about the Saints offense. Going into the season, Callaway, the guy Marquez Callaway, I think he could be a pleasant surprise and at least hold off the wide receiver one duties, if you want to call it that, until Michael Thomas gets back, if he gets back. Moving it over to the other side of the ball, the Packers are the best roster in football. There's no way they lose to the bum-ass Saints. Packers all day, every day, lay the points.
All right.
And the over.
All right, I'm going to go out on a limb here and agree with you. I know this is crazy, but the Green Bay Packers are a well-complete team. My biggest prop bet, if you want to make a prop bet on this, whatever the hell the over-under is on Jameis Winston interceptions, take the over. I think he throws a couple bad balls this week, and I think that the Saints fans right away are saying, oh, shit. You know, like, yeah. Oh, please God, no. You know what I mean? And the Packers secondary, you know, Jair is to me, arguably one of the top two corners in football. I think that Aaron Rodgers rolls on this offense. It's going to be nice down there. The weather's going to be fine. All factors, all things considered, the Packers roll. I might even give them a double-digit victory here. What do we got, AJ?
Packers are going to friggin' wipe their ass with the Saints.
Okay. Yeah. All right. We're getting technical.
All right. So, yeah, less of a technical breakdown for me because, obviously, I'm so biased. I'm not going to get into it.
I get it.
If you want to hear my further in-depth analysis of the Packers, you could listen to the Packers Pulse one day. We'll get to that.
By November, it will drop.
One day.
All right. Sunday Night Football. Really good game. Really big spread, but I think the reason of this is because of who the Chicago Bears are trotting out at quarterback. If this was Justin Fields' first start, I don't know if this game is that way with the spread. The LA Rams are definitely...
Which way do you think it would go?
I think it would lean a little bit more. I think the spread would be like 4.5.
No, I think it would
five,
be...
5, max.
I think it might be exactly what it
is. This is a touchdown spread in favor... touchdown like, more.
I don't think a guy that's never played an NFL down that clearly isn't ready yet, otherwise he would be in, would move the spread.
I don't know if that's the decision. I was talking to my buddy Jay Silva the other day about this. I don't think this is is Justin Fields ready thing. I think this is just Coach Nagy just giving an opportunity to the Red Rifle to do it and start one more time. Like, get your last little bit of the sun. Because I don't know. Andy Dalton is not the quarterback for this team.
Crock of bullshit I ever heard, Dave. If he was ready, he would be playing.
I don't think so. I think you're wrong there.
I don't think that there's any gifted opportunity to a guy that's had 10 opportunities at this point in his NFL career. I think
you'd be surprised.
I think that the Bears are doing the smart thing. And is he ready? Maybe. Maybe he could go out there and make plays. But as far as like being really, really ready to work the pocket.
All right. So in that same breath, right? Why didn't Robert Saleh go get a veteran quarterback? Why didn't the Jacksonville Jaguars hold on to Gardner Minshew and start him? Why? You know what I'm saying? Like, all these kids are being drafted to get their ass in there, right? There's no reason why Justin Fields isn't the starting quarterback Sunday night. Well, no reason.
Well, there's a couple factors into this. One, it's just coaching philosophy and the way organizations are running. Two, it's easier said than done to go get a starting caliber quarterback in the NFL. And I think I said two things already, right? Mm-hmm. So three being that maybe Zach Wilson is ready. I mean, he was the second.
He doesn't have a choice.
He doesn't have a choice. But clearly, you know, as far as the prognosticators go and the draft experts, Zach Wilson was the better player coming out of college, so he may be further along. Right. And
just saying, I think the Bears are doing himself a disservice as far as game picks are concerned because of the fact that Andy Dalton is the quarterback. I'm taking the Rams, and I'm taking the Rams big on this one. If this was the other way, and then you can get a mobile Justin Fields against that, you know, just picture that, bro. Picture you thought Dak Prescott had it hard yesterday with Vita Vea, and then you know all those guys coming in, whether it be you know Jason Pierre-Paul, that whole defense. Aaron Donald is gonna murder. Straight murder, Andy Dalton, in cold blood, right there on Sunday Night Football. Like, that needs to be addressed quick. You need a guy that can get out of the pocket.
I wish I could look up, like, right now in real time. I'm not going to make AJ do it, but part of me wants to say that Chicago plays the Rams tough the past couple seasons.
I don't know.
I don't know for a fact, but if AJ is fast enough, maybe he could do it for me. But I feel like Chicago plays the Rams tough. The Rams going into the season are the sexy pick. Obviously, they got the new quarterback to improve what was already a really good team. So I think just the public perception around the Rams, myself included, AJ's got them winning fucking 39 games this year with Matt Stafford winning the MVP. So we know where he's going with it.
But yeah.
7.5 points is a lot against a defense that I think could play well, potentially. I know it's on the road, but the Rams don't really have this rabid fan base. So that's
first game at that new place.
It's probably going to be a half home game for Chicago, if I'm being honest.
Wow. All right. Chicago rolls
maybe not
deep.
Half, but there'll be some fans there for the Bears for sure.
So what are you doing? What do we got?
I don't want to pick the Bears, but I'm going to take those points. I think their offense is better than people think. Allen Robinson has a funny way of making it happen, no matter who's covering him.
Mm-hmm.
I like Mooney to maybe do some things on the back end.
Okay.
And I like Montgomery a lot.
AJ, so, you're 15-2 Rams. How do you feel they start off the season?
Let me start off by saying I think the under is going to slap in this game. I think both of these teams are going to struggle to score points. And because of that, I'm going to go ahead and take the points with the Chicago Bears, 7.5 on the road. I think that the offense, simply put, while I have the Rams building momentum and getting to a point of dominance, I don't think they're going to start there. So,
But you can suggest that the Rams still win this game, just not by 7.5.
Oh, no. They will win this game, just not by 7.5.
I got you. I just wanted to preface that because, I mean, you've got them 15 wins. I mean, they're going to have to start compiling them somewhere. Mm-hmm. So, all right. Well, that'll do it. I mean, that is the NFL docket. Believe it or not, we are just a couple days away from the NFL officially kicking off with the rest of the NFL games. We'll pick the Monday night game on Monday. But, yeah, for everybody that tuned in today, we want to thank you guys. It was definitely a treat to pick all these games. These are the kind of shows that we look forward to since February. So, like, these are the things.
If there could just be a full slate of NFL games every single day, so I could just do this, We'll be golden.
So thank you guys for tuning in. We appreciate you. Be sure to subscribe to all the podcasts on the Chop Sports Podcast Network. Today, another Squeaky Bum Time podcast dropped. You want to talk about football? That's the other football over there in Europe and England and bloody whatever hell you guys have been talking
about. Breaking news.
All right. What?
Breaking news. Curtis Samuel is being placed on the IR.
Oh, my God. I wanted him so bad in every league.
Oh, that is proper shit.
For what? What was the injury?
He tweaked something in practice the other day. And
these IR things, man. Now that you can do it for 3 weeks, boy, oh, boy.
Or something.
Shit,
I think it's his groin or his hamstring, and he was going through it. So IR means like
everybody's picking the Washington football team to win 12 games, and now they just lost one of their big guns. But whatever. It is what it is. I'm not rooting for injuries. Who cares?
You were very excited about the Gus Edwards thing before. Now you said that. I think you are rooting for injuries.
No, I would never root for injuries. I'm rooting for the Redskins to lose.
He was talking about how your karma affected...
I just said that this is going to affect the Redskins or the Washington football team. That's the only thing I'm saying, is that this is going to affect them. That was their Swiss Army knife. So we'll see. So
for the Saints' best player?
The Saints' best player?
Yeah.
Alvin Kamara.
I hope he tweaks his knee in practice today, just so we can be clear about how karma sucks and doesn't exist. So I hope Kamara gets hurt today.
First Sturge and Gooch over there. And, of course, AJ for all. Oh, my gosh. All the production work, that one made me really laugh. All the production work AJ put in, and I hope you guys enjoyed the show, and we'll be back on Sunday. We're not going anywhere. We're not going away for a weekend. We'll be back on this channel on Sunday for the Sunday. So what do we call it? Shit.
Chop Sports, Chop Sauce Live.
Chop Sauce Live, Sunday. Join us. Get over here. Bring some beers. Here we go. See you then.
Also, I wasn't flexing, guys. I was stretching. Also,
he's flexing. He's flexing.
Saints' second best player.
I'm Lattimore.
I hope he gets hurt too.